Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 9. I invite you to stand. Very much the same events that are recorded in our passage for the sermon today in Matthew chapter 8, but there's a third person that approaches Jesus asking about following. Our gospel lesson. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture passage for the sermon today from Matthew chapter 8. I'll begin reading in verse 18 and read through verse 27. "And when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.' Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save, dying.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. May your word, by the power of your Spirit, shape us as disciples, as those who follow you faithfully. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. As a Christian, I'm often, as you are, before the Word of God, and I feel very small, just very puny. You know, you look at various passages, the Word of God is heard, you read it, and you just feel rightly insignificant. We're going to encounter Jesus' words here and to potential disciples, and there's a smallness that occurs through the Mighty One. We're also going to encounter a storm, and if you've ever been in the midst of a storm, either on water or on land, you truly feel puny there as well. So this puniness will be all over the place before the power of God. All right, Matthew chapters 8 and 9 we saw last week are filled with the wonderful works of Jesus, his astonishing wonders. It follows right after his astonishing teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So words and works go together in Jesus, and as those who follow Jesus, we are to be those who pay attention to his words and pay attention to his works, because his word makes us new and his works have made us new. Last week, we saw that Jesus cleansed a leper. He cleansed the leper and then gave him his word. "Obey my word. Go and do this." As cleansed lepers, we are supposed to obey what Jesus says. Jesus then healed the servant of a Roman soldier. So the leper was an outcast. The soldier, the Romans, were outsiders. Jesus heals the servant and then gives them a place at the table, gives them communion. After this, we saw that Jesus raised up Peter's mother-in-law, and she served him and them. When Jesus raises us up, he does so in order that we may be his servants and serve one another. Jesus' works are astonishing. Today, we are going to encounter two different scenes, two different events with the same message. the first scene, the first event, is with a scribe and a son. The scribe devoted to his studies, apparently. The son devoted to his father, apparently. They're on dry ground. And before Jesus, he had just given the word, let's go to the other side. Before they cross the Sea of Galilee, they approach Jesus. They both come to Jesus, the scribe and the son, and they make statements, and Jesus responds to them. Jesus responds to the scribe. He responds to the son. That's the first scene we're going to see today. The second scene is about the sea and a storm. So now they're on the sea, in a boat, on the Sea of Galilee, and both the sea and the storm come to Jesus and his disciples. Literally, the sea is over, going over the boat. It's the boat's being swamped, so the waves are going up, and Jesus has gone down and gone to sleep. Mark even says he put his head on a pillow, just asleep. Jesus responds to the sea. He responds to the storm, and he also responds to his disciples, the disciples who come and say three words, Lord, save, dying. We know what happens. Still, this is rather unexpected. Likely, we are each a bit surprised by Jesus' responses, particularly his responses to the scribe and his response to the son. We read this, we hear this, and we have questions. Job-like, we come to this passage with questions. And Job-like, we come away from this passage with responses from the Lord. Job had questions, the Lord responded. And just like Job, these may not be the answers we expected, but these are the answers we need. How did Jesus respond? What does he say? What's his response to the scribe? What does he say to the son? What does Jesus say to the storm and to the sea, to the wind and to the waves? His response is the same in every case. And this is his response. Follow me. Follow me. In this, we are going to be warned and we wonder. So the first scene. Let's take a bit of a closer look at the first scene, the first encounter, the scribe and the son on dry land before crossing the Sea of Galilee. Two approach Jesus. The first one to approach Jesus is a scribe. He is eager. He is leaning into it. His willingness and his offer sound good. I will follow you wherever you go. A scribe. A Bible scholar. This may lend credibility to the cause. This may add some muscle to the ministry. Some scholarship and some respectability, right? Matthew Henry comments about what most people would think if a Bible scholar came to Jesus and says, you know what, I'm ready to follow you anywhere you go. Matthew Henry said, one would think that Jesus would have encouraged him. Some might think that one scribe would be capable of doing more good for Jesus than 12 fishermen. Jesus' response surprises us. Jesus does not say, great, so good to have you. You can start now. Let's go. Jesus slows things down. Instead, what Jesus does is he picks up on the scribe's word, wherever. The scribe says, I will follow you wherever you go. And this is what Jesus says. Foxes have dens. Birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, do not have, literally, a wherever to lay my head. Do you know what you're getting into? Do you know what you are saying? Scribes are typically set. They are settled in one place, reading and writing and recording and reporting. And you, scribe, Bible scholar, need to know that Jesus does not have a wherever to settle down. He is everywhere. We are surprised by Jesus' response. The second one to approach Jesus on dry ground is a son. Like the scribe, he approaches Jesus, and he sounds interested as well. He gives the impression of being ready to follow, right on the lip of leaving. Lord, first, let me take care of some things. I have some very important matters to take care of. These are good things. These are honorable things that need my attention. I am ready, but first, protos, as a priority. But first, my priority is let me go and bury my father. How can this be questioned among any of us with compassion? Who would oppose this? The son is concerned for his family. He's concerned for his father. He's being an honorable son, right? He could be making the case that he is going to be another Elisha following Elijah, our Old Testament reading today. First, let me go kiss my father and mother. Let me just say a proper goodbye, and then I will follow you as faithfully as Elisha followed after Elijah. I'll be there. I'll be your shadow. By the way, when people hesitate in following Jesus, when people don't get about it, let a point be very clear. No one ever admits that they have a bad reason. No one ever says, Lord, I don't really have a good reason. I'm just not going to follow you. We don't say that. We make a decision. We always have a good reason for doing so. By the way, Elijah was actually going back to say goodbye, but not to delay. I'm going to go kiss. I'm right back. Gone. Jesus says, follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. Now, Jesus' response has become proverbial. Let the dead bury their own dead is a proverb these days. And it is a way of saying, leave that alone and get on with it. Follow me. Leave that alone. Stop it. Let the dead bury their own dead and get on with it. It's commonly thought, by the way, that this man's father was still alive. I love the way that Dr. Peter Lighthart phrased this. He says that the man is not talking about burying a recently deceased father. If his father had just died, he would be home, if he's a faithful son, making preparations for the funeral. He's talking about seeing his father through the latter part of his life, caring for his elderly father until his death, and seeing him buried. By the way, Jesus' response to this son includes an impossibility. What do you mean, dead? Dead don't rise up and bury dead. Jesus is pointing out the impossibility of what's going on here. You know what, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first, impossible. But right now, impossible. What happened with these two seekers after Jesus? What became of them? Did they continue with Jesus or not? Will they follow Jesus or not? Truth be told, we do not know what happened. This is part of the wonder and the wisdom of Scripture. We are left to wonder. We are supposed to consider ourselves and our own following of Jesus. What have I said to the Lord, and how would He reply to me? We are meant to evaluate our own fellowship, our own discipleship. What kind of followers are we? The scribe seems enthusiastic and eager to follow. Jesus knows what's going on. The scribe sounds ready. He says the right things. He might even be a gifted scholar, and he might even think that things will be a lot better for you once I'm on board. You have me? Following Jesus, however, is following Jesus, not following oneself. It's a scribe. The son. He too seems serious about following Jesus. Eventually, he'll get around to it. He says good things. He states that he wants to, but he's not willing to act, to move, to get going right now. That's the first scene, the scribe and the son. Jesus' comment, follow me. Now the second scene, the second event, the second encounter, the sea and the storm. They're on the sea now. Suddenly, I mean, they just set out on the sea. These are fishermen. Where'd the storm come from? These are experienced fishermen. Did they not say, we see it coming. It's much larger than a man's hand. We're going to get swamped. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And immediately, like this, where did this come from? A great tempest rises up. Love the Greek word here. The Greek word is seismos. Where do we get the word seismic? A seismic storm. That's what it is, a storm. It's seismic on the water. It just rises up. The boat is covered with waves. And Jesus is asleep. This storm was so terrifying and unpredictable. This storm was so terrifying that those who made their living on the sea were concerned for their lives. And as I mentioned, by the way, have you ever been so filled with fear that you speak in a staccato way? That's what's going on here. Lord, save, dying. Jesus speaks to the disciples. He asks about their fear. He even calls them little faiths. You little faiths. And then he helps them. Jesus also speaks to the winds and to the seas. He rebukes, he commanded the winds and the seas. And there was a great calm. We go from a great seismic storm to a great calm. Whew. Wow. There's our passage. What do we say? The message of our Lord to the scribe, to the son, to the storm and to the sea, as well as to his fearful disciples, is the same. Follow me. To the scribe said, I will follow you. The son was told to follow Jesus. The storm and the sea actually did follow Jesus. And the disciples on the boat, trembling, fearful, they thought they had it all figured out, and this completely overwhelmed them. The disciples witnessed it all. Jesus' disciples saw it, heard it, witnessed it. And as disciples coming to this passage, we are meant to witness this as well and to hear and to see. So let's do so. And with this we conclude. The scribe. Have you ever boldly, rashly declared allegiance to Jesus Christ and then want a different path? Look to re-landscape the path. Want to take a different route? I'll do it. Do we ever, as bold and rash declared followers of Jesus, then gripe about the inconveniences? Being a follower of Christ, this, you, these people, impatient. Think we are wiser than God. Think that we know better than the Lord. Lord, you know what, I'm ready, I'm going to go in. Why are you doing this? Them, her, him. Question God's timing and God's providences. Jesus will soon warn about momentary listeners. Yeah. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word. Yeah, I heard it. I'm scribal. And immediately receives it with joy. Yes. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Only for a moment. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The Son. Have we ever found ourselves always having something else to do? Something very important. And then not following Christ? I'll get serious about Bible reading and Bible study tomorrow. I'll get started praying next week. I'll sacrifice myself and my pride and start serving others in the home when I'm finished with this project. I'm being trained right now in this. It's really going to help me for the future. Jesus will soon warn about distracted listeners. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Yeah, I'll do that. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Oh, but Lord, first. Matthew Henry said this, an unwilling mind never lacks an excuse. An unwilling mind never lacks an excuse. Oh, I gave my word to do that? You know, if only you knew what came up. These people heard Jesus. They saw his works. Some suggested that they might have been on the outskirts of the Sermon on the Mount, or when the disciples came down, they heard about it. Maybe they saw the leper. Maybe they saw the servant of the Roman soldier. Maybe they heard about Peter's mother-in-law being, oh, who knows? That's good stuff. They heard. And you know what's going on here? There's a warning. Thunderous warning. J.C. Ryle, I'll just state this. He says this, the saddest road to hell is the one that runs under the pulpit, past the Bible, and through the middle of warnings and invitations. No, later, someday. That's the scribe. That's the son. What about the disciples? The message here is follow me. The disciples in the boat. They approach Jesus. They are with Jesus. They are following Jesus. They say that they speak the truth. Lord, save dying. You're the Lord. We need to be saved. We are dying. And Jesus, the Lord, speaks to the wind and the waves. R.C. Sproul's Holiness of God. Jesus controlled the fierce forces of nature by the sound of his voice. He didn't say a prayer. He didn't ask the Father to deliver them from the tempest. He dealt with the situation directly. He uttered a command, a divine imperative. Instantly, nature obeyed. The wind heard the voice of the Creator. The sea recognized the command of its Lord. Instantly, the wind ceased, not a zephyr could be felt in the air. The sea became like glass without the tiniest ripple. The storm, remember, just popped up. How does the storm just pop up? It's the Lord who gives the word to the storm to just rise up. The Lord is the one who says to the waves, lift up, cover the boat. It's the Lord who speaks to the water. Psalm 107. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, you know what they see? They see the works of Yahweh. They see His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind. Where did that wind come from? The Lord gave command. Which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they are at their wit's end. Just like the disciples. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Lord, save dying. And He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. And so He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then an invitation. Let them also exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. The storm and the winds rose up because the Lord spoke. And the storm and the winds settled down because the Lord spoke. What did He say? Shh. Be still. This is all about follow me. What kind of disciples are we? Although the disciples on the boat were questioned and even rebuked, why are you so afraid? Why are you little faithers? The Lord saved them. The scribe was bold and rash and was warned. The son, I'll get around to it someday, he was warned. We too are warned. Bold, rash statements and not sincerity in following Christ. We are also warned. Oh yes, Lord, I'll do that later. But the fearful little faith disciples who came to Jesus, instead of being warned, they are welcomed. Again, we see the wondrous works of Jesus Christ, a word stilling the storm and a word welcoming His disciples, even those of little faith. Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we come to You through Jesus Christ, the one who spoke this world into existence and who controls this world by the word of His power. The one who has made us new by the word. The one who is Himself the word. Heavenly Father, by Your Holy Spirit, grant us an earnestness in bearing Your name, in following Jesus. Lord, we have been warned that those who dwell upon Your holy hill are those who swear to their own hurt and do not change. Lord, this is possible because of Your great grace. Enable us now to walk in Your ways to the glory of Your name, and to the strengthening and beautification of Your church. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.